Hi, I'm Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. Today, Pam and I are talking about what we learned from our guests, who explored the topic of creativity and the brain in later life. If you missed any of the shows, you can listen to them at khsu.org, iTunes, chronologicallygifted.org, or Podbean. Pam, what stood out for you?
I really enjoyed hearing that walking has a positive impact on our creativity, really because it confirmed my experiences. I walked to work for most of my career, and it would strike me as so surprising that I kept coming up with ideas that didn't surface when home writing a lecture, or structured experience, or questions for a class. I'd be walking and get these aha moments where I'd just be flabbergasted that I hadn't thought of it before. The same would happen walking home, even after evening classes at 9 o'clock at night. I'd have all these thoughts about the discussion during seminar that didn't surface at all during the class. Because of the internet, I was able to email all my students to share what had come to mind on my way home. This was really great because doing it a week later doesn't have the same impact as a more immediate communication shortly after a seminar. It also meant that my students could respond to my reflections much earlier, too. I'd say this same phenomenon happens when I'm struggling with a personal situation or conflict. Go for a walk. I remember in the early 80s, Joy Harden, you may remember her, Annie, she was director of youth educational services on campus. She did walking meetings into the forest. That was 3 decades ago. She was on to something more than just being physical. But the inspirations that hit our brains differently when walking versus sitting. What stood out for you, Annie?
I thought it was heartening to learn that creativity surges in later life. In part, we have the increased knowledge base on which to draw. That reminds me of the old axiom that it isn't easy to be a great writer as a young person because one hasn't experienced enough of life to be able to write about it in a way that resonates. For example, it's difficult to write about loss or great love if you haven't had those experiences, which means that you're writing about them in the abstract. We also have, as Ocean pointed out, greater distractibility, which works in our favor in that we are more able to see and process additional information that we might have filtered out when we were younger and more closely focused. So we're able to consider more novel approaches as we take in this extra information. I find that I'm more creative at this stage of my life because I don't have the responsibilities that captured my time, attention, and energy. So rather than thinking about writing an accreditation document or pondering the agenda for a faculty meeting, I have abundant space to be involved in and explore all kinds of creative endeavors that I'd had no idea I'd one day explore. It's a delight, and I think being free of earlier life responsibilities may help account for some of the creative bursts that can occur in later life.
You know, Annie, one of our guests mentioned a Harvard study done in 2016 about creativity, and it, you know, entertained the idea that there is this burst that can come after 50, as you say, that being easily distracted and less focused actually can contribute to more innovative, original thinking, and that we're often more receptive to other people's input. I have certainly found this in my life. I've always been very focused and goal-oriented, intent on finishing a project, meeting a deadline, relating to external requirements. I find now that I'm older, I'm more occupied with the journey of my life, with relationships. I'm more curious than focused on what is right or smart. I find myself valuing how someone else thinks and acts rather than what will be accomplished. It's a softer way for me to be in the world. But, you know, I also want to say it was loads of fun and incredibly rewarding to have been who I used to be, that working-class professional who was so determined to get things done. Sometimes I wonder who that was. I just feel so different now. I also identified with the idea that retirement for professionals like me can struggle with the sudden loss of structure that we have from the time we enter kindergarten through our work life. And yet, it is the same loss of external structure that enables more openness. I'm just saying, it's not always easy to make this adjustment, and I embrace that now, too.
I found myself thinking a lot about the influence of chance in creativity. B.B. King was a member of a church because he liked the music there. The minister of the church had a guitar and taught King his first chords. Bruce Springsteen's mother took out a loan to buy him a guitar. Joan Baez was given a ukulele when she was a child, and later her aunt took her to a Pete Seeger concert that changed her life. It seems like in every creative person, the talent is present, and the catalyst toward cultivating that talent is the action of another person who offered mentoring, encouragement, equipment, information, instruction. I think a lot of people wouldn't even know they had a talent if it weren't recognized by someone else first and pointed out to them. Hey, you have a beautiful voice, or you're an exceptional artist, or you see things in ways other people don't. It's that part of childhood and adolescence in which we're discovering ourselves, and those comments from others really inform us. When someone pointed out to me when I was a teenager that I was a good writer, I remember thinking, I am? It's the external observation that informs us about ourselves, the talents we have, and then, of course, it is our own internal drive and motivation to pursue the creative endeavor over time. Without that external influence, the observer, the mentor, the teacher, the supporter, we could have the inherent talent and ability that would simply remain hidden or untapped. That made me feel grateful to all those adults who take the time to recognize the unique gifts of young people and to encourage and support them so that they may blossom over time. And it also makes me think about all the people who didn't have mentors and whose creativity was untapped and lost to the world.
I like this concept of flow. I found that really attractive. I think often popularly termed being in the zone, doing something for the very enjoyment of it, where time just disappears. I'd compare it to meditation, maybe. It's like every part of our being is on the same wavelength, totally integrated energy, in the present. I'm so excited now to learn this can and does for some, many, older adults. That's like really positive.
And a positive note to end our summary show. Thanks, Pammy.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, Facebook group, and email address, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week, and we hope you will be too.